Would you turn to number 17? Chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of the ancestral tribes. Write on the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of the meeting, or the tabernacle, in front of the testimony, where I will meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders, gave him 12 staffs, one for the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. And Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. The next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, "Put back Aaron's staff in front of the tent of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me, so that they will not die." Moses did just as the Lord had commanded him. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you. You're so beautiful. And that just getting a glimpse of your beauty draws us to us. We pray, oh Lord, again, we'll see your beauty and understand your goodness to us in every way. For Christ's sake, amen. One of the greatest factors in getting answers to prayers is confidence. I say confidence is one of the most important components for answers to prayer. Personally, one of the most cogent ways to spawn confidence, in my opinion, for prayer is to learn about prayers, particularly by churches that were answered. What's going to follow are three occasions of answers to prayer, not coincidences, nor happenings by chance. Three answers of prayers, and see if they can build up our confidence. First, a small congregation in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains built a new sanctuary on a piece of land willed to them by a church member. 10 days before the new church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the congregation. Until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, they would not be able to use the sanctuary. Unfortunately, the church, with its undersized parking lot, had every inch of their land except for a mountain against which it had been built. In order to build more parking spaces, they would have to move the mountain in their backyard. Undaunted, the pastor announced the next Sunday morning that he would meet that evening with all members who had mountain-moving faith. They would hold a prayer session asking God to remove the mountain from the backyard and to somehow provide enough money to have it paved and painted before the scheduled opening dedication service the following Sunday. At the appointed evening, 24 of 300 members were assembled for prayer. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. At 10 o'clock, the pastor said the final amen. And then he said this, "We'll open the next Sunday as scheduled. God has never let us down before, and I believe he will be faithful this time too." The very next morning, as the pastor was working in his study, there came a loud knock on the door. When he called, "Come in," a rather rough-looking construction foreman appeared. Removing his hat, he entered the room and said, "Excuse me, Reverend, I'm from the Acme Construction Company over in the next county. We're building a huge new shopping mall over there, and we need some dirt fill. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church? We'll pay for the dirt. We'll remove and pave all the exposed area free of charge if we can have that dirt right away. We can't do anything until we get the dirt in and allow it to settle properly." The little church was dedicated the next Sunday as originally planned. And let me tell you, there were far more members with mountain-moving faith on that opening Sunday than there had been the previous week. And why not? Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do? Listen, we just read this from Numbers. In the Old Testament, there are those who question God's appointment to Aaron and his family from the tribe of Levi to the priesthood. Therefore, the Lord told Moses, "Take 12 staffs, 12 rods, 12 sticks, and write the names of the tribes of Israel on each staff." The tribe of Dan was there. Benjamin was there. Manasseh was there. Ephraim was there. Zebulun was there. Levi was there. Judah was there. Naphtali was there. Gad was there. Asher was there. Issachar was there. Simeon was there. And Reuben. On the staff of the tribes of Levi, they wrote Aaron's name and placed the staffs in the tent of the meeting, or the tabernacle. The following day, when Moses entered the tabernacle, the staff with Aaron's name had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Listen, brothers and sisters, if God can take a dead stick and make it blossom, and make it bud, and make it sprout, and produce almonds, there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord to do. Notice, not even Miracle Grove can accomplish that. And listen, let me say this for no extra charge. If you have family or friends who are dead sticks, continue to pray for them. Remember, there's a God who can make dead sticks bud, blossom, and produce overnight. The second occasion comes from Seadrift, Texas. My granddaughter graduated from Army boot camp over here at Fort Jackson. The Army gave her a book about soldiers who were delivered from life-threatening danger. One of the stories went this way. During World War II, a group of mothers and friends in the hometown of Seadrift, Texas, met every weekday for prayer for the 52 men in uniform from all branches of the armed forces in their city. These 52 men all had their photos placed in a large picture frame at the church. Every weekday, the mothers prayed for them. Many of these men were in dangerous situations. Little did anyone know then what battles were to be fought. At the end of the war, all 52 men prayed for by these women returned to Sea Drift, Texas, unscathed and unharmed. That's part of American history. That was not coincidental, nor did it just happen. Is there any prayer too hard for the Lord to handle? The third occasion comes from our neighboring Alabama, Fort Wayne, Alabama, on February of 1999. There was a couple who had a little boy, 6 years old, that had a very rare brain tumor. Without treatment, the child would die. The couple were told there was only one doctor at that time in the world that experienced successful surgery with this particular type of tumor. The problem was that doctor lived in Asia. The family could not afford to take the boy to Asia. As a matter of fact, they couldn't afford that extensive surgery. Meanwhile, the boy became weaker and weaker. This family, friends, and their church all prayed for God's pity for the lad. Now, the boy's dad was a salesman at a local automobile dealership. One day, a very well-dressed man stopped at his dealership. When the boy's dad spoke with this man, the man said he didn't need a car. He added, I'm not even sure why I stopped here at this dealership. The father suggested they go into his office and look over some brochures. As the two exchanged introductions, the dad discovered that the man had the same last name as the doctor in Asia who could operate on his son. Upon hearing the man's name, the father fell to his knees and wept. He kept praying that the man might be a relative, a brother, or at least have heard of this doctor. He was thinking that if at least he knew who the doctor was, perhaps this man could intervene and make some arrangements to get help for his son. Notice what was happening. The other staff members began gathering around the dad and this stranger. The customer was more than a little surprised by this reaction to his name. It was only when the dad related the story about his son's tumor that everything fell into place. For the customer was that doctor. He explained that he was moving from Asia to begin practicing in the United States. In fact, he said, he was going to practice medicine at the University of Alabama, about 2 hours away from Fort Payne. He promised, as soon as he completes his move to the United States, he would perform surgery on the little boy without charge. Now, beloved, what are the chances of a boy in desperate need in a small town in Alabama could only be treated by a physician who lived in Asia, who was preparing to move to the United States to practice medicine nearby, meet in an automobile agency where the child's father worked, where the physician stopped who didn't need an automobile? If you think this is all by chance or coincidence, what if I tell you 50 other stories just like that, where something like this occurred? Can you say that every one of those just happened by chance? Finally, confidence in prayer should come from knowing that while you are praying, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you as an extension of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. And now he's praying for you. The reason prayers are answered is because Jesus is praying for you and with you. Several years ago, one of our own Trinity Sunday School classes, a lady stood up to speak. She said she had recently been in the hospital for diagnosis and test. She was anxious. Did she have a life-threatening condition? Did she face a prolonged sickness? Would she need surgery? Would she be in a lot of pain and discomfort? How long would she have to be in the hospital? And something, beloved, that worries all of us, who is going to pay the hospital bills? While she was tormenting herself with these concerns and others, a woman appeared in the room. The woman thought she may have been a nurse, she said. But subsequently, when she asked around, nobody knew who she was talking about. She was told, "We don't have any nurses or anybody else working here that fits that description." Well, when this woman entered the hospital room, she said one thing: "Jesus is praying for you." The lady said the moment that woman said that, all her fears were gone. Her anxieties dissipated. The thoughts that plagued her melted away. Jesus is praying for you. Listen, your prayers are not alone. While you pray, Jesus is praying for you and with you. And that, beloved, is our confidence. And not only that, but that too is why you and I will get to heaven, because Jesus is praying for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you never sleep and you never slumber. All the time your attention is toward those you love and care about. We thank you for it. Encourage us all the time, Lord, to seek your face because you love it, and you love to answer prayers and do your grace in the work of your people in church. For Jesus' sake, amen.